And how you view God reflects on your ability in how you worship God. You can only worship God if you know God, which is quite obvious. And how you know God reflects how you're going to worship God. You think of the Apostle Paul in a passage of Scripture we just went over not too long ago. It's over in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. You remember what he said? Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory, honor, and power forever and ever. Amen. As he said that, what he's saying in writing in that letter, he's basically pouring out what his life's all about. His view of God, his whole life is shaped by his view of God. The way he writes, the way he lives, the way he preaches, the way he witnesses, the way he conducts his whole life is shaped by his view of God. Our view of God's got to be based upon the Word of God. As we mentioned, some congregations, which I would not call the Lord's churches, they often have a view of God that's based upon a lot of different things other than the Word of God. Sometimes based upon other things plus the Word of God. But our view of God's got to be based upon Scripture. And just think of, I can give you an illustration or two, how much people have a view of God based upon their experience in life. Have you ever talked to someone who's got a kind of warped view of God because it doesn't line up with Scripture? I remember a young lady that was in our church one time. She was probably in her 30s or 40s, and we disciplined her because of immoral behavior. And I remember when she told me a story one time, she was trying to see what God wanted her to do in a certain area of her life, and she was praying, and then she says, when she looked to the left, she was driving down the road, she saw a Madonna statue, and she knew it was the Lord's will. And I'm going like, you know, where do you find that in Scripture? Yeah, that's based upon a feeling on seeing a concrete slab. It's sad, but yet that's how she thinks God works. Or she used to think that, and I imagine she still thinks the same today. Think of how people are shaped in life by coming from an abusive home, coming from an abusive parent, how in their mind they must think God's unjust, God's not fair, and maybe even doesn't even believe in God simply because of the things that have happened in their life, and therefore their experience shapes their thinking. You've heard of recently of all the priests and the Catholic Church and the sex abuse scandals, and they're voluminous. I mean, it's all over the place. You can imagine how some people in the hands of those priests, after they've grown, how they've been turned off to any type of religion, are thinking a warped view of God. Which, personally, I think the Catholics have a warped view of God anyway, but this just compounds the warped view of God that they already have. Imagine someone dreaming, and their dream comes true. And so they automatically start thinking that God speaks through dreams. You know, we can get a lot of warped type thinking through experience. I can give you one other illustration. I remember, and I've shared it with you before, I was sent to talk to a preacher, and this preacher was committing adultery. And where I was sent to was at the adulteress's home where the preacher was. So as I knocked on the door, and this was out of town, it was probably about an hour away where I had to drive to, when I got there, I knocked on the door, and he came out. And he was a talker, and he was trying to justify everything he was doing, and he says, you know, God put me here because I got to lead this woman's daughter to the Lord. And I'm going like, you are condoning your sin, justifying your sin, and you think God has this stamp of approval on what you're doing and living. You see how people have a warped view of God from experience. You cannot go on experience. You've got to go on the Word of God. And if your experience does not line up with God's Word, you need to don't think about God in that as far as forming God, an opinion of God about your experience. The same way you can think of experience like Matt and Simone with the loss of a child. You know, if you're not careful, you could think God is harsh. You see, you cannot let your experiences shape who God is. God reveals Himself through His Word. There are people who have a form of an opinion of who God is based upon their lifestyle, such as homosexuals. Homosexuals will, if they believe in God, they will often say the little verse of Scripture, God is love. God is love. And therefore, their lifestyle shapes a picture of God who they want God to be. They don't take all the Word of God, they just take sections where it will put the stamp of approval on their lifestyle. Other people are, like if they're in an unhappy marriage. I've heard people who have gone through a divorce, well, God don't want me in this marriage because God wants me to be happy. And I would simply say, show me verse where that says that. You know what? They're basing it upon their lifestyle and what they want. And their image of God and who they think God is drastically warped because they're not sticking with God's Word. And that's how people get divorces. One of the many ways. Other things can shape our view of God. Music, I believe, is important. But music is not the central point of worship. If you're not careful, you can find unscriptural songs, even in a hymn book. And sometimes, if you base your theology on a song, and the song is not fully scriptural, you're going to have a warped view of God. So music can even be dangerous. Sometimes music can make you feel good. You ever heard a good Christian song and it had a good beat, but it wasn't a scriptural song? I got one that goes through my head. It goes something like this. I'm not going to sing it due to copyright laws. That's an excuse. It goes something like this, and I'm trying to figure it out still. Faithful, faithful, faithful is our God. Wait a minute. I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take, give back what the devil stole from me. You've heard that, Brother Wayne. Yeah. It's got a good tune. It's got a good beat. And some of the words are scriptural, but some of them words in there, I'm kind of going like, you can't really line it up with Scripture. So, you know, even Christian songs can mislead you in Scripture, and it warps your theology or how you see God. What we need to do, you've got to base your view of God upon the Word of God. Let me give you just a couple of Psalms. Psalm 104 in verse 1 says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covers Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain." In thinking of how great God is, let your thinking be great about a great God, because God is great. And as you see Scripture, and as you see how God reveals Himself in Scripture, here's God revealing Himself to us. Look how majestic God is. Look how glorious He is. Focus upon His might, His majesty, His power. His holiness, His justice, His mercy. And as you ponder those thoughts, you know what? God becomes even greater than your mind has ever thought as you ponder His majesty, because you can only worship on the level that you know God. You can only worship on the level that you know God. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. We can only worship Him as we know Him. His Word reveals His nature. His Word reveals His works. And His Word reveals His ways. I want you to look over in Psalm 103. In Psalm 103, I find it a very interesting passage here. And it starts out with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed." And then notice verse 7. "He made known His ways unto Moses, and His acts unto the children of Israel." I want you to notice there is a difference there between Moses and the children of Israel. The children of Israel saw the acts of God. They saw the Red Sea part. They walked through it. They saw the Red Sea swallow up Pharaoh's army. They saw all the wonders in Egypt that God performed against the false gods. They saw all these works of God, but notice what it says about Moses. He made known His way, all of His ways unto Moses. You know what? We want to see God work a mighty work. But you know what's even greater is that we might know His ways, that we might walk in His ways. Here, Moses, it was made known unto him, His ways. So, if you're desiring one thing or the other, make sure you desire the ways of God more than the works of God, that we might know Him even greater. I want you to look over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And look at what it says down in verse 28. In Hebrews chapter 12, and down in verse 28, it says, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace," or let us be grateful. We're receiving a kingdom. That's what the Word of God says. And it says it cannot be moved. So let us be grateful or have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The word "serve" is the Greek word "latruo," which means to worship, or like a priestly service. It's kind of like you find over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And it's worshiping God. Here it says, let us be grateful. And it says, whereby we may worship God. But notice how we're to worship God acceptably or pleasing with reverence and godly fear. The word reverence can mean modest. The word godly fear can mean in awe. Like, let me tell you, when you see something and you're awed by it, it strikes a fear in your heart. Kind of like Brother Josh was in Acts chapter 28 this past Sunday. I told him I couldn't get off my mind toward the end of the lesson how Paul was caught in that storm. You remember how it lasted 14 days at least. And they're in the sea, in the ocean. And can you imagine being in the ocean? I was sharing with Brother Josh that sometimes them hurricanes, when they spit up the water and sink down, sometimes them waves crest up at 90 feet. Can you imagine going up anywhere from 30 to 90 feet and then the bottom dropping out from under you? for 14 days at least. Can you imagine? You talk about seasick. Boy, you'd be seasick. I can't imagine a ship just going up. It's kind of like an amusement park, one of them roller coaster rides that never stops, never stops, never stops. Ooh. That would be something you would be awed at. You would be scared to death. And here the Word of God tells us that we are to worship God with reverence and awe. Now, how often do you find that in churches today? How many churches have reverence toward God and worshipers that are standing in awe of God? Oh, how we need that in our lives. We've got churches in our day and time that have dumbed down worship. You think about the standards just in our nation. Our nation has dumbed down the standards of morality to our society. You know what? Any of you got any years on you? Think back about 20 years ago, 30 years ago. The morals of this nation have gone way downhill. And the standard to be expected has gone way downhill. Now, that's just our society. Think of it on a level of Christian churches, of the Lord's kind of churches, how the standards have even gone down there. In our day and time, in some churches, it's acceptable to drink alcohol. Boy, you know what? When I was growing up, you never heard of that. Never heard of that. Now, I understand I'm ancient. But look at how the standards have devolved. The moral standards are lowered in churches. When a young girl gets pregnant in church and she's not married, you know what you'll often hear? Congratulations. Wait a minute. That ain't right. You get the cart before the horse, so to speak. Some people say, well, times have changed, and things have changed, and you need to catch up with the times. Well, let me tell you, God's Word does not change. And God does not change. And how we worship Him should not change, but it should be according to His Word. Let me give you an illustration of that. Look over in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Leviticus chapter 11, look down in verse 44. Leviticus 11:44 says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." God commanded His people way back in the book of Leviticus to be holy. Why? Because I am the Lord your God, am holy. Therefore, you're to be holy. Now, jump ahead 1,000 years and look over in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 15, it says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation," or all manner of lifestyle. "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." But wait a minute, Peter, times have changed, haven't they? The morals have changed a little bit over time. You know what? God's Word hasn't changed. God hasn't changed, and He demands for His people to be holy, even in Peter's time, for His people to be holy. Let's jump ahead 2,000 years later. He's demanding us to be holy because the Lord our God is holy. You see, He doesn't change. Therefore, we are to worship Him how He's revealed Himself in His Word. God's commandments are very helpful. I run across this statement today. I want you to think about this with me for a moment. His commandments show whether you love Him or whether you like that love. If you don't keep His commandments, it shows you don't love Him. If you keep His commandments, it shows your love for Him. When God gave the Ten Commandments, I want you to look at a time frame when He gave them. He delivered the children of Israel out of bondage from Egypt. They were liberated. They were free. After they had their freedom, and this is a picture of salvation, then God gave them the commandments, didn't He? In other words, there's no way they worked for their salvation. They didn't do anything. God saved them. God delivered them. And when God delivered them, then He gave them the commandments. They were saved by grace. Even today, we're saved by grace. The commandments were given that the children of Israel might know how to walk in the new freedom which they had. And even so, God's words, God's commandments today, they're not to save us. We don't observe the commandments so we might be saved. We're saved, and now we desire to enjoy that freedom by keeping His commandments. God's commandments are very relevant today. God's truth has not changed. You think about the Ten Commandments, you know what? They were the same as He wrote them. They're the same in our day and time also. Look back in Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus the 20th chapter, Exodus chapter 20, look down in verse 1. We'll start with, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. God's introducing Himself to His people. He's reminding His people, I am the Lord your God. Now, you know what? Why did God say that way? Because they're like you and me. We often forget. You know, we're prone to wander. Our minds are prone to wander. And sometimes our lives are prone to wander. Therefore, God's calling to recount, I am the Lord, I'm your God. Sometimes our lives need refocusing, don't they? Sometimes they need focusing, sometimes they need refocusing. Here, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God delivered them. Now, God has not changed, and His method hadn't changed in saving people. He delivers us, and then we have commandments that we are to observe, we are to follow, because we love Him. How we approach God, how we worship God, has not changed either. Your view of God is going to determine your approach to God. How do you approach God? I've heard people that are sincere pray something like this. Hey, Dad, I'm here again. And, you know, just real flippant. There's no reverence. There's no awe. How do you approach God? You know what? God's Word teaches us how we approach Him. Our view of God is going to determine how you're going to worship God. I want you to look over a verse of Scripture. I want to close with this. It's actually two verses of Scripture, but one I've already read. In Exodus 34, I take you to this verse of Scripture this morning. And down in verse 14, the Word of God says, For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. The only time jealous is used for a name is with God. God is a jealous God. Here's God revealing Himself by one of His names. How many of you knew one of God's names is Jealous? Here, knowing this, God's revealing something of His character to us. He is jealous over His children. We are His purchased possession. There's another verse of Scripture, and I didn't write it down. This is what I wanted to go through right after that. And it talks about how God is jealous. And He's like a consuming fire. And it's in the book of Deuteronomy. I just don't remember chapter and verse. But when it talks about He's a consuming fire, that's automatically in my mind. It relates back to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. We're to worship Him with reverence and godly fear because He's a consuming fire. What does fire do when it consumes? It's kind of hard to describe. I kind of said what it does when I'm just consumed. God consumes, and it's got a purifying effect. That's who God is. And it speaks of judgment when you speak of fire. God is a consuming fire. Therefore, we should worship Him with reverence and godly awe. Here's how we should approach God. This is the basic. This is going back. We've been in worship for about 3 months now, 2 or 3 months. This is worship 101. We start back over. Worship 101. Here's how we approach God with reverence and godly fear, awe of who God is. The more you see how God reveals Himself in His Word, the more better you're able to worship Him. Look at all the names God's revealed Himself by, all the compound names. I think of some off the top of my head, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah. There are a lot of compound names in God's Word, and He's revealing His character to us. And you know what? When you learn of God, you want to just worship Him all the more. For we serve a mighty God. May our minds be formed by His Word that we might worship Him appropriately. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we're thankful for how You reveal Yourself to us. Lord, we ask that You'd help us to grow in Your Word and Your grace and Your knowledge of who You are. In Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. That we might worship You in spirit and in truth. And that our worship would be acceptable unto You. Lord, teach us Your ways. For Christ's sake. Amen. You're dismissed.